All right, here we go, people. Woo-hoo! Listen to that. Stroll Radio, how you doing? Kids. It's great. What we're doing today is pretty cool, I think. Because Corey's back. How you doing?
Hey, everybody.
Corey Hall. And a lot of people are going to say, well, Jay Leno came back, and that's really the reason you're here.
That's it, really. What Jay does, I do. I follow Jay.
Well, that's what I'm going to say is, like, you know,
I just bought a closet full of blue denim shirts.
Well, my point is, like, here, you know, we got this show, which is the new show, and it's going to sound a lot like the old show. We have Jay doing a new show,
yeah,
which is exactly like his old show.
Sure.
So if anyone's ripping off Leno, it's me.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, anyway, so Corey's here. We're going to run down the premiere of the Jay Leno show.
Yeah.
And what a show that was. If you watched it, if you didn't watch it, it did good ratings, apparently. Apparently they're very happy with the ratings of the Jay Leno show.
Yeah.
And
now, did you do a special Beatles CD release box set show? Because
no, I did not.
Because we are awash in Beatles merch right now.
Well, I talked about Harry was in on Beatles Day last week, but Beatles Day was not. I described it on the show. I'll give you a quick recap of Beatles crap.
Now you've got the stuff here, though.
Well, yeah, that was the point. Is last week I went to Best Buy when they opened and was able to get the Beatles in Mono box set, which is apparently there were only 10,000 in the country. And since it was so rare, I decided not to open it. Yeah. I had ordered both box sets on Amazon the night before. They had gone back in stock there. So I ordered them and said, hey, I'm probably not going to be able to get these in the stores tomorrow. But meanwhile, I got up to be there at the open, and I managed to get the Mono one. So I said,
What time does Best Buy open?
10.
Oh, God.
So I was there at 10.
The crack of 10.
I was there a quarter to 10, lined up with the oldest white guys you ever saw to get Beatles.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. But I got the Mono set, and I decided, hey, this thing's so rare, I'll sell it. And people were getting, like, almost $400 for them, and I had only paid, like, $240 for it.
Yeah.
So I tried between Craigslist and eBay to sell it, and by mid-afternoon Thursday, I took all the ads down and opened the fucking thing. Canceled my Amazon, because my Amazon order wasn't going to come for a week.
Yeah.
So I said, let me just get the Mono set. The stereo set I got shipped to
but
me
don't
in 2 days.
But now, have you checked to see if the price has gone up since
No,
then?
The price is, you get about $300 to $330 for it.
Okay.
And to me, after you pay all your eBay fees and your PayPal fees, you only make like $40 to $50 profit on it.
Yeah.
And I was going to have to wait a week. Like, I still wouldn't have it today. So I said, why don't I just open the thing?
It
was just, you know. And the stereo set came in 2 days because that was in stock, so.
Yeah,
so I got the stereo set.
You
I got the Mono set
by eBay Gold.
Well, when you're paying, you know, you pay 5% of, or they take like $7.50, which is like right off the top if it's over $20, and then actually if it's over a certain amount, they take $7.50 plus 5% of the remaining balance over $20, and it ends up we're coming out to $35-$40 plus the $7.50. Plus your listing fees, plus a 3% PayPal fee, plus you got to ship it.
Oy.
And if you offer, according to Steve Bills, our eBay expert on the show, if you offer something for more than, say, $100, it's protocol to offer free shipping because they're already paying so much money, and it costs probably $10 to ship it. So I wasn't going to make any profit on it. A guy offered to, I had already opened it, and a guy on Craigslist offered me money for it, but not enough.
That's,
so I kept the fucking
That's
thing.
The dilemma I've got right now. I've got a set of trade paperbacks.
Right.
For a character that doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. It's the most convoluted comic book, like, plot in the... Never mind. No one cares.
No, it's fine.
this character, Miracle Man.
Okay.
Okay. Let me see if I can tighten up the legal definition. In the 50s, DC sued Fawcett, who made Captain Marvel, Shazam, who's the guy with the red with the lightning bolt, which he had a show in the 70s.
Yeah, I remember him.
Well, they sued that they sued Fawcett claiming that he was a ripoff of Superman.
Oh, okay.
Because he was outselling Superman at the time in the mid-50s. So Fawcett went bankrupt and went under. But the British company wanted to keep producing Captain Marvel, so they came up with a clone who they called Marvel Man.
All right.
So they produced Marvel Man till like the mid-60s. Then the character kind of disappeared and went fallow for a while. And then in the late 70s, they revived it, but they didn't really have the guy who did put it out didn't really have the rights.
Okay.
So then they started printing them, and then they did, and then Alan Moore, who wrote Watchmen and is a real famous.
You
got
to get to the point here. What do you have?
He did a series, and that became a very popular series, and it became, you know, a legendary book. But then they called it Miracle Man for the U.S. because they didn't want Marvel to sue them.
All right.
Turns out nobody really ever had the rights to the character, so these very famous issues have been put into these extremely rare, only one time were printed things, which I happened to buy 20 years ago.
All right.
They've been sitting in a closet for 20 years. Now they're running for like, one of them's 400, the other one's running for about 150.
Why don't you sell them then?
Well, because you got to fuck around with eBay.
Well, you could sell them on Craigslist.
I've gone to two different comic book store owners in the area to see if they wanted to buy them.
They're going
to
chew you down.
And they were like, well, I can't do it at the moment. So
what do you mean they couldn't do it? Oh, they didn't have the money?
They just were like, I'm going to have to, you know, hold off. Because I'm asking, you know, if you, it's over $500 for the two of them.
Well, it just depends. I mean, yeah. Corey, the difference is, but my dilemma is, I paid $240 at Best Buy for the mono box
set. This is free money for
me. It's free money for you. I mean, I had already doled out a bunch of dough.
Right.
So, and plus I wanted the shit.
But then sometimes, what I'm saying is sometimes the price that people want for stuff on eBay... Yeah. There's no guarantee you're going to get. People have it. Buy it now at $400.
Yeah.
Who knows what you're going to actually get?
Well, for me, it was just a matter of if I'm going to get rid of this thing, I want $100 for my trouble of not having it. But meanwhile, I'd rather just have it and open it and listen to it and enjoy it. So by Thursday, I had opened the mono set. So I'd gotten Beatles Rock Band Wednesday.
So you know how
Thursday
you had to get the stereo and the mono.
Right. So Thursday, I got the mono set. I opened that up, and then the stereo set came Friday. So I had sort of 3 days where I got a Beatles thing every day, and it was nice.
So you got the stereo set, the mono set.
Right,
so that's
real quick,
$400 worth of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing.
And Rock Band.
And Rock Band was $60, but. The thing is, if you want to just listen to the Beatles and you're a fan, get the stereo box set.
Sure.
Don't fuck around with the mono.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, because the mono, like, they're like, well, the Beatles, you know, they were in the studio when the monos were mixed and the stereos, they weren't, but the stereos just sound better. I mean, the monos sound fine, but they do sound like mono. They're one speed, you know. The mixes are different, and there are differences in the mixes. There's difference in... You know, the loudness of the guitar on certain songs sounds better in mono just because the mixes are different. But there's stereos that sound better than mono mixes. And across the board, the stereo just sounds nicer. So.
And besides, after Rubber Soul, they were high as a kite anyway. So,
well, yeah, they always say Sgt. Pepper is the best example of the mono being better.
Right.
Because there's all those effects and all those layers of effects.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the effects were put on in the mixing stage.
Yeah.
So when they mix them into mono... Then when they, you know, they would do certain things. Then when they went to mix them in stereo, they had less time.
But wasn't
they didn't apply some of the effects?
Wasn't a lot
stereo.
Of that stuff George Martin and Jeff Emmerich's kind of work anyway?
Right, they did the mixes, but the Beatles themselves were in the studio, and there were songs that were actually not mixed by even George Martin or Jeff Emmerich. Mm-hmm. They were handed off to another guy because they only were mixed when the songs were released on some of the compilation albums, like a collection of Beatles oldies. They had to do stereo mixes of some of the singles. So anyway, that's just convoluted, but the stereos sound great. They're cheaper. Get the stereos. The monos are little record reproductions, which are very neat and incredibly detailed.
Yeah.
And great if you're a collector.
Sure.
And if you want to hear all the mono mixes, which like I do, I like to listen to the differences in mixes.
What I'm saying is as much as I love the Beatles too, but you get just as nerdy with the Beatles as I do with comic book stuff.
Well, but see, I have books like the book right in front of you. Like that's a book by a guy named John C. Wynn. Yes. And he describes all of the different mixes, and you can look up the song, and he'll describe when the song was recorded, the variations in the mixes, where the different mixes were released, if the song was released on bootleg in a different mix. So to collect all those mixes, and if we read the book, it makes it nice, you know.
I will say that they do sound different. They do sound better, and they sound...
The remasters sound great, To get the remasters, they're worth getting.
You know, when they were like, oh, the remasters are coming out, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. The Rolling Stones have had their stuff remastered.
A bunch
of
times,
like three times.
Yeah.
And I love the Stones, but I didn't know what the value of the remasters was.
Yeah.
This Beatles remaster stuff, it really is
been
a revelation.
It's been so long since they did it, and they finally did it, you know, they did it with such modern equipment today that they knew how to make a CD sound good.
Now, I, of course, did not have the scratch to drop on multiple box sets, But well, I did pick up a couple of the stereo.
Yeah, and you can get them all that way, releases, and it's fine.
Yeah, and I probably will end up being the Nudnik schnook that I am. We'll end up buying them piecemeal and probably pay more ultimately.
Well, it depends. I don't know. If you bought, I bought the stereo box set. It was $187 shipped, and it's you know 14 sets plus a DVD.
So how much was the mono box set?
It was $229 plus tax. It was $247.
All right.
So there you go. Anyway, just get this. Enough about Beatles. I don't even want to talk Beatles today. I love the
Beatles. Well, just we're awash in Beatles.
We are. Well, you wanted to see all this stuff. You haven't been over. We played some rock band before we started the show.
But it really, like the horns on Magical Mystery Tour sound amazing.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff sounds great. Strawberry Fields Forever, I thought, sounded amazing.
Yeah. So, Penny Lane sounds terrific.
So get the stereo box set unless you're a super. Because the monos you can't buy separately. You have to buy them all.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Now, are there different like European releases for these things? And
generally, no.
Okay.
No, the monos are all made in Japan,
okay.
Which is a lot of people like think the Japanese make the best quality like physical CDs.
Yeah.
Although I think the ones in the stereo box set, which are printed in America, are every bit as nice. But
sure.
Yeah. So anyway, you just there's differences, and the Japs do a lot of mini LP reproductions.
Yeah.
Like the format that they use for the monos,
right.
Where they're in a little bag and you open it up and it's an actual sleeve. And
yeah.
It even has the die cut paper sleeve that came with the vinyl.
The Japanese are into making bonsai trees and little miniatures.
They
make miniatures for Godzilla to step on.
They have little miniature houses. They need little miniature things.
They're about little. Yeah. That's what they're all about.
Little miniature people.
Little miniature recreate. Well, that's actually though. Those are the real size albums in Japan.
Yeah, we have a little album, no. Asshole.
With this huge album in my little finger.
So the Beatles in mono is a very cool collectible. The Beatles in stereo box set is just great because the music's great. The box is pretty nice too. I like the box that the stereo box set comes in. So
you gotta have a nice box to put stuff in.
You gotta have a nice box. All right, let's get on with speaking of boxes. In a fucking pussy holes. Jay Leno's show came on.
Let's go from talking about a triumph of pop culture,
right,
to a tragedy.
Well, they rehashed the Beatles. It's the same shit rewarmed over, and Jay Leno did the same thing, but Jay Leno's only been gone away for 4 months or whatever he is.
Oh, for the love of buttery shit.
So it's been on. They've been promoing the crap out of it, and finally it came on last night. And the Jay Leno show on NBC every night at 10. And why don't we just open? I pulled a few clips, very few clips.
Okay.
But why don't I just play the open, and if you haven't heard it or haven't seen it or heard a review, this is what it sounded like.
Then you're lucky. You're a lucky son of a bitch.
Come on now. This is the opening to the Jay Leno show. Here it is. There's the Jay Leno show.
Jay Leno show. Featuring Kevin Eubanks and the Primetime Band. Tonight's guests, Jerry Seinfeld. Jay-Z with Rihanna and Kanye West. And headlines. And now your host, Jay Leno.
Of course, the immediate thing I go is, well, Kevin Eubanks is back.
Where is Stuttering John?
Yeah, they fired Stuttering John, which is, you know, I mean, they're brought back. I mean, you know, down to like the guy who's cleaning Jay's fucking dirty, scummy toilet.
Yeah.
They all came back.
But Stuttering John got the heave-ho. Go fuck yourself.
He's the one guy that's not back. Everybody's back.
Oh!
That whole band is back. That chick that sings is back. Kevin Eubanks is
Ed
back.
Ed Hall is back.
I don't know. I don't think that's Ed Hall. I don't know who that is doing the announcing. But
Branford Marsalis.
And
is
I saw on the Today Show that it's literally the same building. They're just like, it's a different studio physically, but it's like next door to the studio.
Right.
So in other words, I think Jay probably has the same office. Like it's all the same stuff, except for they fired Stuttering John, which is great.
That's their,
John Melendez.
Well, so. Good for him.
Anyway, here's the rest of
it. Doesn't Stuttering John belong on like Kimmel anyway?
Oh, he belongs heating up Howard's baked potato is what he did on the Stern show.
But I mean, wouldn't Kimmel be a better fit for him?
I don't know.
He didn't do anything on Leno's show.
He did nothing on Leno. He would occasionally do like a man on the street thing.
Yeah.
But generally sat there and raised his coffee mug when they called his name out.
Why did Leno even hire him?
It was just probably a budgetary thing. They got rid of him.
But I mean, why did he even hire him?
Because they wanted an announcer. They wanted that live. Now, what I was heard is they wanted a live announcer. Like, when Ed did the Tonight Show, Ed did the thing with here. He did that live.
Sure.
Like, he did it live in the studio in front of people.
Right.
And apparently Ed Hall did the thing live.
Yeah.
Well, when they hired Stuttering John, I guess they let him do it live for a little bit. And they went like, you know, we're just going to tape these intros. So the intro was taped anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe if you went to a like a Leno taping, like he would come out and do something too, because that happens a lot too. Like I've never been to I've been to Conan, the old Conan.
Yeah.
And like Conan would come out and Andy would come out, and then there was a comic doing warm up, and they would do some shtick. So maybe John did some of that.
Yeah.
But I don't know what he did on the show. Yeah, you're right.
You know who introduces the NBC Nightly News?
Who's that?
Michael Douglas.
Oh, he's the announcer for the NBC Nightly? I did not know that.
They just it's like a pre-taped. You
oh,
know?
Is it really?
I think Cronkite did the CBS Sunday News. There's the CBS Evening News.
Oh, okay.
He's like the CBS Evening News with Katie Kirk.
Speaking of audience warm-up, I don't think we ever talked about this. You know who's working, who's doing the audience warm-up for the Conan O'Brien show?
Who, Jimmy Pardo?
Jimmy Pardo is, yeah, you're right. Our buddy Jimmy's over there.
A one-time guest of the Court Angel Radio Show.
I love Jimmy. So maybe Jimmy's getting off the road. I might not see Jimmy anymore.
Good for him.
Well, he used to come to the castle once a year, and we'd hang out and stuff, and I love Jimmy. He's funny.
Good guy, very funny guy.
Yeah, but he's got that gig, which is probably a real sweet
gig. You wonder if you're seeing a guy on his last trip through the Comedy Castle. Like, like is Greg Giraldo going to ever come back?
Oh, no, I think Greg Giraldo, we can officially say he's not coming back.
You know what I mean? Like Mike, like Lewis Black would come to the Comedy Castle, and we saw him a couple times.
Sure, I worked with him once.
You worked with him, and I came and watched a show or two. And now you're like, you'll never see Lewis Black.
He's too big for that. He's too big. Yeah. Sure, Dave Attell was there last year.
Yeah,
and who knows if he'll be back? You know,
Attell might do it because he's a whore. But
Attell's bad with his money, so he'll probably end up doing
blowing it all on booze. Yeah. All right, so anyway,
here's the rest of, let me because you got to hear what he opens with. He opens with such a great joke. So, it comes out, people are going crazy. He has a set that's more or less the exact same set of the Tonight Show, as far as when he's doing his monologue. It's not really a whole lot different. It's the new theme song. It's so catchy.
Wow, it's so terrific.
This goes on and on.
My God.
I was going to cut it out, but it was funnier just to leave the, you know, fanfare.
34 bars.
There it is.
Thank you.
It's the same show.
Now before we get started.
Going nuts like they've never seen Leno before.
Wow.
This is not another annoying promo. This is the actual show. And I apologize for my face being all over the place. Anyway. It's
nice to I apologize.
Been off the air for 3 months, or as most people in Hollywood call that, rehab. That would be rehab. See, I would just be getting out.
Oh, right.
Been a busy week for President Obama. I understand he's having Kanye West and Taylor Swift to the White House for a root beer summit this weekend. Yes, he's just... See, she's only 19, so it's got to be root beer.
Yeah, that was
so.
That was the
let
first
me see if
two
I get
minutes.
This straight.
Yeah,
Jay's been gone off the air for 3 months.
Right.
NBC has committed its primetime slot at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
5 hours of weekly valuable television time.
Yeah.
To this endeavor.
Yeah.
And put in millions of dollars into promotion and redesign of studio. And that's the fucking garbage that Jay gives you?
That's Jay's opening jokes. There.
That's the garbage that gets scraped off the bottom of my anus. What kind of lame crap is that?
Yeah, some lame jokes. I took notes on the show and
I
wrote on my paper 4 minutes in the exact same show as it was before.
It's the exact same
show.
And here's the thing. Comics send him in jokes.
Yeah.
Some guy got paid $50 for that Kanye West joke.
Well, I wrote down two jokes that I thought were funny in his monologue.
Actually, I hear Jay Pay's very generous.
Does he?
It's $75.
It's $75 a joke. He said his VCR to record The Biggest Loser, it recorded the Lions game.
Wah, wah, wah,
that was one. And he said that Obama's giving away money for old cars and Jay personally made $5 billion. And that was kind of because he made fun of himself. You don't get a self-effacing Leno joke a lot. So that was the.
It was a self-effacing Leno joke in the beginning. How annoying!
Oh, his annoying face was. Well,
yeah,
that was more truth than comedy.
That was accurate reporting.
And so Leno...
It's the same hacky monologue.
It really was. It was the same monologue.
I don't get it.
Well, and then they also did a thing, a Cheaters parody.
Yes.
Where Kevin was hanging out with a Jay Leno lookalike.
Right.
And they had the guy from Cheaters there. Yeah. And I guess over the summer, apparently, Kevin Eubanks was hanging out with a Jay Leno lookalike, which...
Exactly. He wasn't even hanging out with Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, it would have been fun if he was hanging out with Conan or somebody. Yeah, I get that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, have him hang out with somebody else on the NBC lineup.
Sure, yeah.
Or Conan. You know, Conan's in L.A.
Yeah.
Have him hang out with Conan.
Yeah.
But no.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Jay doesn't.
Yeah.
You talked about Johnny being a dick and doing a dick move. But Jay wouldn't have Conan on his show.
No, he wouldn't have Conan on, no.
He did have Conan on his last show.
That's true. Yeah.
Which you went into an elaborate explanation was a way to stick his thumb in Johnny's dead corpse.
Yeah, because he was going to be gracious to Conan,
right.
Whereas Johnny was a dick to Jay.
But, I mean, even wouldn't that even be the expected kind of cameo? Like, it's Kevin's hanging out with, you know...
With Conan. Yeah, that's what I would get, yeah.
There'd be some comedy.
Like, Conan's a big wheel now, and Jay's nothing, right. And, you know...
But he's hanging out with a Jay Leno impersonator.
Yeah. What a career that
First of
got.
All, yeah, that's got to suck to be that.
Imagine you look like Jay with none of the money, or none of the...
We saw a couple of Letterman impersonators on the on that great
the next
late,
best thing
the late great lamented late great lamented next best thing.
Yeah, there were some Letterman,
which was
guys.
One of my favorite shows.
That was a great show.
Yeah,
but so he does
now.
That.
They just wheel out the impersonators to do Family Feud.
That is true. We did see the week of Family Feud impersonators. Yeah, and then they went into his new segment. One of the things he's going to do is. His young comedian correspondents, he's calling them.
Sure.
It's a bunch of young comedians. I found a partial list of who they are. I saw a picture of them, and I recognized a handful of them. So he had, here's a couple guys. D.L. Hughley is going to be one of his comedy.
That is a young, fresh 43-year-old
comedy
man.
Correspondents.
Yeah.
Rachel Harris is going to be one of the comedy correspondents.
Another 38-year-old newcomer.
Jim Norton is going to be.
Sure.
Again, I got another guy in his 40s.
Yeah.
Jim Norton.
Sure.
And Ross Matthews, formerly Ross the Intern on The Tonight Show. So again, he's getting a whole new coat of paint for this Leno show. He's going to use Ross the Intern.
Where did he find this fresh talent?
And the guy that he used on the first night was a guy named Dan Finnerty.
Yeah.
Who's in the Dan Band. If you haven't heard of the Dan Band, if you saw, you didn't even see it, but he's in The Hangover.
Yeah.
It's actually a really funny scene at the end of The Hangover.
I got to see The Hangover just so people will lay off.
The Hangover is kind of great, though. You would really love it.
I'm sure it'll be. It's an enjoyable film. I just, you know.
Why would you not see it, though?
There's no reason. I see several hundred movies a year.
I understand.
But I can't see them all.
Well, I know, but this is one that's like real good, though.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like if you were actually going to go to the movies and enjoy yourself rather than sitting there watching some crap that you got to review. Then The Hangover.
Which I got to do tonight when I see a Jennifer Aniston movie.
Oh, there you go. But see, you could see The Hangover, and it would be great.
Well, sure.
Maybe you should go into The Hangover after the Jennifer Aniston movie.
I'm going to...
wash the taste of the Jennifer Aniston just movie right out of your lips.
So I got a number ready to call as soon as you play this clip, so go ahead.
You got a number to call?
Yeah, I got a number ready to call.
All right, so the Dan Band is... So he goes... And the Dan Band was funny in The Hangover... And I guess they were in old school, too. I guess they're buddies with that Todd Phillips.
Sure.
But I'll play a little clip. So he had Dan Band entertaining people at the car wash. And the Dan Band does, like, funny parody songs of, like, he'll do, like, hip-hop songs, like, in a lounge style. That's kind of the shtick.
Sure.
And the Dan Band's on tour. They're playing in Detroit, actually. Not so this is him at the car wash.
Car wash till I
he's entertaining.
I'm gonna be your
he's entertaining a chick who is clearly... set up, who clearly is not a random...
No, no.
Did you saw it, right? I mean, it was clearly set
it's
up.
It's a young, single white girl in the middle of an L.A. car wash.
Yeah.
While they soap, rinse, and wax. I hope that you can hear me over all these machines. I'm gonna serenade you while your rims get squeaky clean. Would you like to take advantage of a magic mist?
This is...
Your car can smell like forest panel. Lemon twist. Watch your step.
I mean, it's
slippery. You don't wanna fall. And I'm begging you, protect your ties with Armor Roll.
All right, I'm calling Newberg to get him to fire his agent.
Oh, whatever.
Why is Newberg not doing this?
Me? Do you think my song blows? Would you like me any better if I whipped out my hose? I could do a vacuum dance for you. See, now you're in luck. And you're so really
he does his dance. He's got two backup dancer guys.
Let, make it stop.
No, it's almost over. This is the 10 o'clock cutting edge comedy that Leno's. Like, I think the Dan Band is funny, and, like, okay, that clip was all right, I guess. It wasn't the greatest thing ever, but the problem was that the segment went going, and the Dan Band did two more songs at the car wash. And it was like, yeah, that was, the one was fine.
It was terrible.
And it just went on, and it was just kind of like, okay, Jay, we got it. We're here to watch Jay make us laugh.
No, but because he's been gone for 3 months preparing.
Yeah.
He's been doing, Joel, he's been doing comedy since 1976.
I know.
And he's prepared every week of his life for this. Jay does comedy tirelessly.
Yeah.
He goes out on the road. He goes to Vegas. He does a show every week to hone his comedic persona to a razor sharpness. And this is what we get. We get a guy singing dick jokes in a fucking car wash.
Well, you know.
Hack, Leno.
Well, he's you know, he's trying to incorporate some other people and, you know.
Yeah, so he didn't have to do any fucking work.
Well, so it's not all him. Well, he's claiming he's not going to have, like, multiple guests. He's going to have, like, one guest to show.
Sure.
So he needs to, like, pad the show with other stuff. Which and the Dan Band would have been fine for a minute. Like, this
so there's
song,
more time for fucking jaywalking? Is, that, song, why, is that what we're going to
this song
get?
Was a minute 13 as I pulled it from the show. But like I said, he did two more songs, so the Dan Band segment had to be 6 minutes. And Dan was in the studio talking for a minute, too, so... I mean, it had to be 6-7 minutes of the Dan Band.
Yeah.
It's a little too much for... I mean, like, in the hang... Like, there was more Dan Band in the 1 hour Leno than there was in the whole Hangover.
Yeah.
The Hangover, he's on for, like, 60 seconds.
Bless America.
Yeah, it was bad. And then the Seinfeld came out. That was...
No! Hey, oh! Is a fresh comedian?
Well, Seinfeld did make the joke. He's like, you realize I haven't been on TV in 11 years. Which was funny.
Jerry was actually, okay, Jerry did come out in a tuxedo, which was real gimmicky.
Which was, yeah, that was nice.
But he was trying, Jerry at least made some allusions to keeping it real.
How lame it was. About, I've got that clip.
Yeah.
Let me play.
Well, thank you. It's good to have you here. Is it nice to be back on NBC? It's been a while.
It's great.
The funniest moment
I'm just
of the
trying
whole show.
To grasp exactly what is going on here. Because I remember there was a big farewell show. Mm-hmm. On the Tonight Show.
Right, right.
And you schlepped all those kids out and everybody got very... It was emotional and Conan had his goodnight and that's it and he's gone and... Right. You know, in the 90s, when we quit a show, we actually left.
Yeah,
that's the way we... But not in the Brett Favre, Lance Armstrong, 00.
No.
We take a 3-day weekend and right back at it.
Anyway, so there's the funniest joke probably the whole night.
That was good because it at least hinted at the reality of the lameness of this.
He sort of drew attention to, you know, this Jay, this isn't really that big a deal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Oprah, they had Oprah on TV doing a satellite segment, mm-hmm. I guess. But the shtick was she wouldn't talk to Leno, only Jerry.
Yeah.
Like Jerry was her buddy and Jay couldn't get Oprah.
So
it's like nothing like seeing three billionaires chatting with, you know, three incredibly rich people trying to,
because
you know, make
if,
us all laugh.
If you had Seinfeld in the studio, what would you ask him?
I don't know.
Something.
I mean, I don't,
something juicy. He did.
I
he
guess.
Talked about his wife being sued over a
okay,
cookbook.
Okay, that's a newsworthy
that
thing.
That was okay,
sort of, yeah.
But they talked about the Seinfeld reunion for like a second.
It's on Curb Your Enthusiasm this year.
Right.
So if you
would
to...
you not go, what's with Michael Richards? Is he out of his fucking mind?
You might ask that, sure. Yeah.
You know, why don't you ask him? I mean,
I would ask him, how much money does it take for Seinfeld to reunite?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they held everyone up for money at the end of Seinfeld, if you remember that.
Sure.
I don't think it was even Jerry, because I think Jerry was, his deal was so juicy. But the other three.
Right.
Held up NBC for money.
Now, I know you can't get these people to come on your show if you ask them tough questions.
Sure.
But wouldn't you want to know if he wrote a check to Microsoft shareholders refunding the money for those horrible commercials that he did?
Which ones were the Microsoft commercials?
He did commercials with Bill Gates.
Oh, that's right.
They were like, hey, these slacks don't make any noise when you walk.
They were Super Bowl commercials.
Right. Yeah. But there was a whole series of them.
And they fizzled out.
And they
out.
Were dreadful.
Yeah.
And they must have paid him $30, $40 million
well,
for those.
I always heard, now not about those specifically, but I'm sure it was the same deal. He did the American Express commercials.
With Superman?
Right, where Jerry had creative control.
Right.
And I'm guessing they gave Jerry creative control over the Microsoft ones.
Well, they were awful.
But Jerry's brilliant. You don't understand. You would give him creative control because he's a brilliant.
He talks about nothing.
Comedian. Well, I know.
But see, Joel, he talks about nothing.
No, he's
now,
he's,
I don't have HBO anymore, but I want to kind of see the Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes.
Yes.
Because I generally that show, while it goes to the occasional flight of ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, the funeral episode or.
Sure.
There was a girl dressed in a hijab last year that they were chasing around in burqa.
Yeah.
There's occasional moments where that show goes over the edge. And last season it had plenty of those. But it was still very funny.
It can be a
like
good
the
comedy.
The Freak Book. I still think about
it. You love The Freak Book.
Look yeah. at these freaks.
Yeah.
Come on. I loved it.
And Heather Mills McCartney comes out.
Yes.
And catches them looking at the freaks.
I still say, step in that ass. You got to get in that ass, Larry. I still say that sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Black.
Yeah. J.B. Smooth.
J.B. Smooth, yeah.
Yes. Mr. Black. His name is not Mr.
He's Mr. Black.
Oh, that's right. It was the Black family.
It's the Black family. That's
right.
Mr. Black.
That's
yeah.
right. What was his name?
I forget. But
J.B. Smooth was good at that show.
But and they're back. They're coming back. The Blacks
well, okay,
are back.
Okay, but he asked one. Jay went. I don't get many other.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't ask all the like because I would think it would be hard to get the cast of Seinfeld back together. Yeah. They clearly all have money.
Sure.
They don't really need it, and you know, I would think
well,
at this point,
Kramer needs it.
Okay, but he's made as much money as the other. I mean, you know.
Do you remember the Michael Richards show?
I do.
Right after Seinfeld.
He was a detective.
They tried to make him a detective.
Well, how many Jason Alexander failed sitcoms?
Jason Alexander, let's see how many we can come up with. He did the one with Malcolm Jamal Warner that was like PTI.
Yeah, he was. It was Tony Kornheiser.
Right.
Listen up.
What was the one where he was the motivational self-help
I don't know.
Speaker?
Has he had three bad ones now?
Bob. Somebody. Oh, my. Yeah.
He's had three or two?
I think he's had three failed
wow.
sitcoms. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Good.
But,
times.
And Julia Louis-Dreyfus has that old Christine show, which is probably doing pretty good.
Right. But then she had something before that.
She did.
She had one show that flopped.
Wasn't there something where it was like in real time?
It was in real time. It was a single camera. And there was 60 minutes actually ran. The clock ran.
But anyway, so Seinfeld comes out. It wasn't a very long segment. They did the Oprah thing, which I didn't think went over well at all.
No, it laid there.
Yeah, the Oprah thing was bad.
It laid there like Oprah does in bed.
I'm sure.
Can you imagine Oprah being a good lay?
Let's ask Gayle King.
Because every cock that goes into Oprah is her father.
All right, that's wrong.
Isn't it? She's a trauma lesbian if I ever saw one, right?
All right, listen.
You think Robin Quivers is damaged. Oprah, that black bitch got beaten like tar. Like tar on a Georgia pavement.
She might be turned off to men at this point.
This point? I think every point. I'm sorry. I'm a little. I fucking hate. That you were so right. It's billionaires.
It really is.
Talking
like,
to each other.
People with-
Jay's the broke guy. And Jay's worth $200 million.
Yeah, no, Jay's got to be worth. Yeah, I mean, Jay did 17 years on The Tonight Show. He probably made no less than $10 million a year.
Right.
So you got to figure Jay's worth at least $100 million.
Yeah. And
Jerry's worth more than
and
that.
And Jay's the average guy.
Right.
Jay's
the
broke guy.
Yeah, yeah. Like Oprah would have to pick up the check between the three.
The Tonight Show has a different kind of deal because it doesn't really have reruns.
That's true, but Jay, you know, is a producer of the show, and it's huge points. And I would think the primetime deal.
But
I
think
Leno,
Seinfeld made the real money in the syndication.
He's got syndication, and he owned the show. He wrote the show
and the DVDs and all that crap.
Yeah, so Seinfeld is rich, but still, Oprah is the richest of all.
Oprah's got stupid money.
Yeah,
because not only does Oprah have that television show, which makes hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah,
she's got a magazine. Mm-hmm. And she's got a production company.
Yes.
And the production company gets a share of many of these books and movies. And then there's shows that she produces.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Oz is getting his own show.
And Dr. Phil, she
Dr.
has a
Phil.
Hand in. Yeah.
So she gets a chunk of all that.
Rachel Ray, she's got a hand in that awful show.
Well, I'd like to get a hand in Rachel Ray. One in her mouth to shut her up.
But yeah, Oprah's got retarded money.
Not now, I don't. 10 years ago, I would have hit Rachel Ray.
Yeah, now
I'd hit her with a... Now I'd hit her with some cookware.
Has she been around for 10 years?
Yeah.
Really?
Probably about that.
I don't know.
She maybe 2,000. I don't know. Whatever.
Okay, all right. That's almost.
You know what? I get one of those nice Yummo Rachel Ray pans. You know, she likes them in orange, the nice Teflon nonstick pans.
Oh, yeah.
With the nice rubber handle. Smack that bitch right in the face. Yeah. What do you think? All right.
The other thing, then, another
EVOO on it.
We got another comedy segment.
I'm sorry, I come back very infrequently. I need to get hot when I'm here.
We had another segment where he did a faux interview with Obama, I guess, based on the 60 Minutes interview, where Jay, they would ask phony questions and you'd hear Obama respond.
How tired is that?
It was so awful.
And you can see that done any night of the week on any other comedy show.
Sure, yeah. And that's not, you know, nothing innovative there at all. It wasn't even good for what it was.
Doesn't Kimmel do that bit?
I guess.
Doesn't he do some bit like that? Well, are we going to rate the talk shows?
Well, we can. Let me get through.
Let's close the segment.
Let's get through. No, because it's better. Then the most cringeworthy moment of the whole show happened. They had Jay-Z was booked to do a song.
Yes.
And I guess whatever Jay-Z's hit is features Rihanna and Kanye West.
And they were originally booked to do the whole thing.
Right. And it was booked for the whole thing to happen. So he decided he'd do an interview with Kanye. So I guess Jerry got his time cut.
Right.
So he could talk to Kanye about. Kanye, and this has been everywhere, I'm not even going to recap this in much detail, but he interrupted an acceptance speech of Taylor Swift at the Video Music Awards.
The horror.
Right, like, that was the worst thing in the history of the United States of America. That poor Taylor Swift, the 19-year-old billionaire country star, was interrupted by Kanye West. Now, do you remember the Video Music Awards? There used to be constantly guys running on stage.
That's a country music. That's a country and Western singer, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, who?
Taylor Swift.
Well, whatever. It's not
she
about
she puts
it.
The cunt in country.
But
Let me just tell you
that one. What did she ever do to you? Why do you
I hate her.
Okay. But Kanye comes up, and he wants to give props to Beyonce or something during the speech. And, like, it was annoying and stupid, and, like, he shouldn't have done it and everything. But they're acting like he killed somebody or something. It really wasn't that big a deal.
It was the most interesting moment of the fucking show.
Well, I didn't see the whole show. I saw bits and pieces of the Video Music Awards, which was, I think, is enough.
We watched a good chunk of it.
All I know is Pink was on a trapeze, and I went like, I'm done. That's it. I can't.
You didn't
do no
see
more.
The Lady Gaga performance
I didn't
where she
see,
was covered in blood.
No,
in
I didn't see that. But so anyway, he interrupted that. So Jay's like, well, I have to interview Kanye now.
Yeah.
Because he will give us an explanation for what happened.
Yeah.
And Kanye had literally nothing. I mean, he literally almost said nothing.
Well,
he kind of mumbled a couple
Jay,
times.
I wanted to help people, so I became a recording artist, and I wanted to help them. And I was going to help people.
Stop being so eloquent. It was Kanye West. That's what he said. Then Leno goes, and I thought this was a low blow on the part of Jay. He brings up Kanye's mom. Like, what do you think? I got the clip here, but, you know, Kanye's mom.
Well, was he trying to shame him?
I think he was trying to shame him like he shamed. He was, like, getting revenge for, like, Taylor Swift. Because Kanye West's mom died a couple years ago. She had, like, a botched tummy tuck or some ridiculous thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some creepy doctor. Kanye's a dick and everything.
Which,
but
she never would have gotten that tummy tuck if her stupid son hadn't become a millionaire.
Right. So Kanye, you know. So he asked.
Let me ask something. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to meet your mom and talk with your mom a number of years ago. What do you think she would have said about this?
This is. I left all the silence in.
Okay. Would she be disappointed in this? Would she give you a lecture?
Well, he's like he's 6 years old or something.
You know, obviously, you know, I deal with hurt, and you know, so many, you know, celebrities, they never take the time off, and I've never taken the time off.
He doesn't answer the question.
You know, I just music after music and tour after tour and tour, and I'm just ashamed that my hurt caused, you know, someone else's.
That goes on and on, but apparently he was drunk at the that's what I
the VMAs.
Yeah, he was drunk at the VMAs and he jumped on stage.
Well,
why don't you say, hey, I got a couple of pops?
Didn't a couple years ago? Wasn't somebody from like which band was it? They like crawled up on the top of the stage.
Yeah,
and wouldn't get
the
down.
Guy, the bass player from Rage Against the Machine,
right?
Jumped on top of something. He was drunk.
Yeah.
And went nuts. But it was Fred Durst he interrupted. And that's okay.
Who cares?
Yeah. But I mean, if it's not that Taylor Swift, she's a princess.
What has been interesting about this whole thing is I actually, for reasons unbeknownst to me, I turned in the country station for a little bit.
God.
And the country station was a nonstop wall-to-wall referendum on Kanye West and what an asshole he was.
Well, it was a rude thing to do, but I mean, it's the VMAs. It's not even like, if it was the Oscars, I could see an argument. The guy that yelled at Obama during his speech, like, that guy's an asshole. Because that's an important thing, but this is the VMAs.
You know, I think...
Corey, if Kanye ran in here right now and interrupted this show, would anyone give a fuck?
I'd be excited.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be like, all right, whatever you want, dude.
Well, here's what I feel is going on.
Jody and Jamie invaded our show.
Boy.
And we let that happen at the comedy show.
Sure.
Festival.
I won. Yeah. You invaded Jody. And
Anyway, let's move. Come on.
I think she's still doing the Greg Russell
I don't know.
White Woman Safari. That's a great show.
Thank you for joining us today, Corey.
Jody got a gig on TV.
All right.
I'm wild and free and loose, maybe.
All right. Come on.
I drove away all the listeners and now I can get wild. All right. Yeah. Now, here. Yeah. What shocks me about this, nothing shocks me, but. What's interesting to me is they hire people expressly to create controversy at the VMAs.
Yeah.
Remember Chris Rock used to host them?
Sure.
And he did it a couple times.
Yeah.
And
he made fun of people. And,
ripped everybody a new asshole. Yeah. And it was great. And everybody tuned in and it was talked about.
Yeah.
But the people sitting in the chairs don't come there to be told they're fuckheads.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They all come there to be told how wonderful they are. And how everything they've ever done, it deserves applause, money, and cocaine. No. So that, and then Russell Brand last year turned in a total turd of a performance.
He was there this year, though. He returned.
And then they brought him back.
They brought him back.
He was a big mess last year. And I kind of like Russell Brand in that.
Yeah, I kind of like Russell Brand, too, in that he's not afraid to say controversial stuff.
He was on which one of the talk shows? I can't remember. The problem is the talk shows is there's 40 of them.
I've seen him on Kimmel. I know.
I'm assuming it might have been Fallon this week.
Oh, okay.
And I think leading up to the
VMAs, it was in New York, so it makes sense.
He was pitching, right?
Sure.
And he was kind of funny. You know, he's a weird guy. He's a unique wit in an interview situation and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then he was sitting there on the couch later on, and they brought the girl from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, like he wouldn't hit on her.
Right. And she starts talking about her husband.
Yeah.
And Russell goes into this rant about, now why am I sitting here on the couch when you're bringing out married women? What am I sticking around for?
Yeah.
And it was funny. And but then you put him in front of a crowd full of J-Lo, who looked like J-Lo.
J-Lo
they kept
looked
going,
bad?
They kept flashing her. No, she didn't look bad. She looked like she wanted to die.
Absolutely. Why would J-Lo be there?
She's not famous anymore.
Yeah.
She's not a recording star.
Yeah, I don't think she puts out albums anymore.
She's now famous for being J-Lo.
She kind of is. She's a personality.
She's now to that level of celebrity.
Well, she's like Cher.
She doesn't have to do anything.
She's Cher.
Right.
Cher, you wouldn't know Cher doing anything.
But to her, she feels disrespected because she's not a musician or taken seriously.
Right.
So she's sitting there with a gas face going, why am I in this fucking room full of these no-tons?
Well,
and her stupid husband, Ricky Ricardo, is sitting there. And they look like these people have millions and millions of dollars. They look so
bitterly unhappy.
Bitterly
anywhere in the world
to be sitting there.
Rather than sitting there.
Right.
She must be coming back with an album or something. That's my guess.
But they kept going to
reaction. Because why else would she go on there, you know?
She looked like somebody pissed in her cornflakes. Yeah. She had that look, and it was funny.
Well,
and there were people in the crowd, and when Kanye did his little rant, and by the way, I've never heard the Taylor Swift song in my life.
I've actually heard a Taylor Swift song maybe once or twice.
I have heard the Beyonce song.
Okay.
And it's catchy.
Okay.
If you like it, then you should. But it makes you want to dance. It's not like something I would ever. Look, am I going to go out and buy I'm Sasha Fierce, the album
by
Beyonce
not.
Knowles?
No.
When did she lose her last name, by the way?
Because she's Cher now.
She can't
she's
be
Cher
Beyonce
too.
Z.
Absolutely.
She can't take her husband's name.
No.
By the way, they still deny they're fucking married.
I don't know if they still deny that.
They weren't sitting together, were they?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
All right.
I'm talking about Leno.
I watched
Leno?
The effing VMAs.
All right,
I'm sorry.
Let me talk about Leno.
Right,
we'll get into the VMAs.
Back to...
Because I got
to
talk about Jay-Z next. He was the next thing on the show.
So, but here's what I think's going on with Kanye. Just to wrap up the VMA discussion. Back to Leno. I think Kanye has become the black music for white people artist.
Oh, I think he definitely has.
And he doesn't feel comfortable with that.
Well,
much like Dave Chappelle didn't feel comfortable doing comedy for white people.
Well, Kanye, though, marketed himself.
Because you're not cool anymore.
Yeah, Kanye, though, his thing, I think, was that he sort of put himself out there to be like the black guy that white people would think was cool mm-hmm. because he wasn't street. He wasn't doing gangster rap like some of the like T.I. sure. and some of these guys.
He was supposed to be creative.
Lil Wayne. He was
innovative.
Like creative, and he would collaborate with like Daft Punk and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. And then he realized, oh, white people care about their music. Like, if it's not good, we won't like it.
Yeah.
And then he kept putting out albums that nobody liked. And well, because, I mean, that is the thing about white people, though. You kind of do have to make good records. I mean, for and with a certain
sure.
crowd.
I think it's probably true for black people, too.
No. Black people like any piece of shit. Now, black people, I have to have as a hook on a black record.
But
here's and you got a whole career.
But you know what? They'll dump on somebody. They'll go, man, that new record ain't it. And you wonder why.
But, you know.
You can't tell the difference. But what I think happens is that these guys get to a mainstream level of success.
Yeah.
They get beyond the predisposed hip-hop R&B market, and they get big, and then they're not comfortable in that role.
Right,
and
yeah.
I think Kanye West is, like, not really comfortable being a big star because you then lose cachet. You're not cool anymore.
Well, he just seems like a guy who's never was a real bright guy. And you could get by on
it's
that, and
a little bit much for him. The fame.
He's going to end up like pick a VH1 reality show. You're going to be able to date him soon on a
Rick
show.
Rick James. It's going
to
be.
Well, you know what I mean? Like you're going to be able to. There's going to be a lineup of whores to date him soon, or he'll be in rehab shop somewhere.
I think a burnout is coming any minute.
Well, I mean, he's the guy he's going to be Coolio or one of these guys.
Yeah.
He's just going to end up as a guy who,
that's the other thing. A lot of rap careers are not long.
No, absolutely.
The shelf life is you can put a fucking Bruce Hornsby is going to be on Leno this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bruce fucking Hornsby. Who fucking cares about Bruce Hornsby?
Well, Bruce Hornsby has a career because he played with the Dead and those people grabbed him and made him.
I know, but
he played keyboards for the Dead.
He had like the one hit.
He did, but he
but now he's considered a big talent and still in certain circles.
It's him and Eric Clapton somehow on Leno. I don't know why. I don't know how Eric Clapton ended up where. Maybe Clapton has now collaborated with everybody under the sun.
Yeah.
That Clapton now has to collaborate with Bruce Hornsby, but yeah, so Kanye, I just think Kanye is a guy that you're going to see him. You know, he's the new MC Hammer. He's going to be a guy that is just going
to
watch.
It's just really hard to maintain it on the top.
Yeah.
Diddy, no one gives a shit about.
Yeah, but Diddy seems to have made enough money where he doesn't.
He's got his clothing lines.
Yeah, but Kanye seems like a guy who isn't bright and isn't clever. And the thing about Diddy, though, that a lot of people don't realize is Diddy was a behind the scenes guy for a long time.
Right.
And Diddy kind of knew how to...
Sean Combs.
Yeah, he kind of knew how to run stuff.
Like how we're calling him Diddy, whatever the fuck his name is.
Whatever.
But
the song, I got to say, the song, the Jay-Z, Rihanna, a Kanye song, maybe the worst piece of music I've ever heard in my life. I mean, honestly, it would be amongst some of the... I mean, literally like... You could have given me the Chill Rap CD, and I would have been like, oh, this is... You could have told me that was him. Like, I've heard...
Who was the guy, Raku the poet, or what was the guy that used
Raku the narrator.
Raku the narrator.
It's the guy who'd show up at open mic and rap.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Harry Arton's MC Sampler is better than this Jay-Z song.
Into Lewinsky Monica. This is sad. I don't have my laptop today. In the old days, the Into Lewinsky would have got
but
played.
But was the
right
Jay-Z song not just
I didn't think
a
it was,
freaking horrible
well,
piece
I
of garbage?
I didn't think it was anything different.
No, it wasn't worse than what's on the radio.
Here's why
but.
I thought it was bad. Is there anything more boring than hearing hip hop people? There was a line about Riesling in the. He said something about he rhymed like my feelings with Riesling or something like that. And I'm like, is there anything less interesting than rap about your boat?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Your chauffeur.
Sure.
And your bottle service at the club in Miami.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, damn, this lawn service is expensive. I mean, what? Seriously,
it's so bad. It's such a
that like Chardonnay rap is the dullest fucking thing.
Yeah,
on
it's
earth.
And that's kind of what he does, and Kanye does that too to some degree.
That's what that
stuff.
Song was all about. Yeah. Was like, I want to know who's going to run this town tonight.
Yeah,
because we're the greatest thing that ever happened. And the lyrics were all about my fucking helicopter.
Right,
and I'm like, hip hop was only kind of interesting when it was like that angry street, like public enemy kind of shit. Like that's when I was interested in it. And of course it was also 20 years ago when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But could I give a flying fuck about how you did on a golf course, Jay-Z?
This is bad. And it's like, why is this on Leno anyway?
Right.
Like it was just Leno trying to inject some.
Well, because what coherence.
Hip-hop.
And this underlies my big problem with the whole show. One is that Jay's a fucking hack.
Right.
30 goddamn years doing stand-up comedy. And his routine is, What's with these people? I can't believe what's with this.
Like, he does the yelling. That's so stupid.
There's
stupid people out there.
Right?
Stupid.
But he'll do the yelling, shouting punchline, and it's lame. There's no joke there.
And he ended the show with headlines, just as a wrap-up. Because I guess now that's the idea. That's the innovation of the show.
They'll do headlines into the local
news. But you know why they're doing that?
Yeah.
The affiliates are angry at Jay.
Sure.
Because they don't want a weak lead-in for their local news. When you had they had Law and Order, and it'd be some legal case, and it would end, you know, they would resolve the whole murder, and someone would, you know, wake up from the dead, and they'd, at the end, and boom, and then the late local news would come on, and people would watch, you know, they watch. But you've got to get through Jay-Z and Rihanna singing some awful song. Mm-hmm. Well, people, in a lot of talk shows, it's the time for people to turn off the channel, you know. Mm-hmm. So Jay has to put his, you know, headlines at the end.
Well, the end of a talk show is always better.
But not now. Jay's changing that. He's changed that, Corey. Because now headlines is at the end. So now we have to stay tuned because on the lunch menu, they put Alpo for lunch not one day. It's hilarious. And look, headlines is occasionally funny, but it's hardly innovative.
Letterman does the same thing.
Letterman does small town news. It's the same thing. Letterman only does that to spite Jay, though. He doesn't even want
to
do it.
He just does it to piss on Jay.
Yeah. Conan's bad. Does Conan do it on the Tonight Show anymore where he does they just make up the headlines?
I haven't seen that one.
They make, like, phony ads.
But Conan is actually doing bits that I think are aggressively turning people off, like Twitter Tracker.
Yeah.
Which I think are funny.
Yeah, I like that stuff.
I think Conan... we ran an article in the Metro Times this week, which stunned me, by the TV writer... Jim McFarlane, who's a good guy. I like Jim a lot.
Yeah,
but he wrote this real positive. Leno works hard and he deserves it, and he's a blue collar guy like Detroit. And Jay's a nice guy. We'll see if it works. And there was a line in there about how he doesn't see the appeal of Conan, and it baffled me. And I'm like, do you know what this paper... We're a fucking free magazine about rock bands and rock shows and what's going on in the city.
Yes.
This is why the whole Jay Leno experiment makes no sense to me.
Well, my problem with Jay... Look, I'm not saying... Jay... Okay. I don't like Jay. I've said many times I don't like the Jay Leno show. I didn't like the Tonight Show. I think he's lame. I'm a fan of Conan. I'm a fan of Letterman. I don't hate Jay... Jimmy Fallon. Let me tell you about Jimmy Fallon, okay? Maybe, like, honestly, I could go to Club Bart's open mic night, which I host every Thursday night, 9 in Woodward. Half the guys on there would be a better host of that late night show. And I'm not kidding. I'm talking guys like Adam Sokol.
I would watch Nate Fritzen.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Matt McClary. I would watch.
McClary's half retarded. You can't put it on.
Whatever. I'd still watch it. MC Sampler I would watch. Amazing Ron. Give me him. But listen,
can you imagine if Harry had a show?
I know Harry has with the show.
Can you imagine what kind of
guest? Harry with the show is frightening.
But okay,
but Harry could have done the Dan Band segment on Leno. He could have done that,
right?
I mean, the thing is, I don't hate Jay. My problem with this whole thing is, you know what you do? This is if I'm NBC, if I'm running NBC today, this is what I do. I go to my desk, I get out a pink piece of paper. To Conan O'Brien, you're fired. Goodbye. And I'll tell you why. Because they don't want Conan to host the show. They want Jay. The problem was they got fucked. Conan's agent fucked them over. It's a money move. It was always a money move.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with... They don't want Conan. They got to fire Conan.
The problem is Jay won't retire.
Exactly. As long as Jay wants to do the show, they can't have Jay anywhere else. That's the point.
They'd be tickled pink with Conan, except that Jay won't get away.
No, because they don't want Jay at 11:30. That's what they don't want. In other words, they don't want Jay at 11:30 on ABC. Right. They would love Jay at 11:30 on NBC. But if Jay goes to 11:30 on NBC...
Would you have just taken your chances and let Conan go? Because Conan's agent, you're right, Conan's agent masterfully stuck them with that contract.
With the deal.
Where they had to keep him.
But the only reason...
The other alternative would have been that Jay went over to ABC, or Conan would have gone right over to ABC.
Exactly. But the reason...
Believe me, they would have bounced Jimmy Kimmel like a Super Bowl.
But the reason they signed the Conan deal initially was to keep Conan at 12:30. They didn't want Conan leaving at 12:30 because they thought CBS would put him on.
Yeah.
After, when Tom Snyder went and they were like, oh, who can we get at 12:30? Well, Letterman would have loved to have had Conan following him.
Sure.
So the idea was, hey, we can keep Conan at 12:30. if somewhere down the line we promise him 11:30, and
how did,
somewhere in
how
the,
did Tom Snyder get a 2-year run at least? Which I watched every minute of.
Yeah,
I thought, there's the difference.
Right.
Tom Snyder was actually an interesting show.
Right.
Because he was a decent, he was insane, but he was a compelling interview.
I don't see, you know, I see Craig Ferguson more in the vein of like a Tom Snyder in a sense. I mean, Tom Snyder wasn't a comedian like Craig Ferguson is, but it is more of a conversational type show.
Right.
You would come in and you'd sit down and you'd talk.
I like Ferguson's interviews.
Right.
Because there's occasions where he seems to forget he's doing television.
Yeah.
Where he's just like Drew Carey was on the other night.
Yeah.
And it was just old buddies talking.
Yeah, they're buddies from the
right. And sometimes he'll have like people he's known for a long, you know what I mean? Like actresses and stuff. He's had girls he's dated on there.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty interesting. Like Kelly Williams was on, and Olivia Williams.
I don't know who that is.
She was in Rushmore.
Oh, okay.
And he'd clearly had a relationship with her and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's in the interview section. There's shtick, there's jokes, whatever. He's sitting there waiting for a punchline, but that makes me nuts. With Leno, the interviews are terrible.
No, Leno just but the whole point is at NBC they want Jay could have gotten anything. That's the thing about Jay. Jay could have got 8 o'clock if he wanted.
Right.
You know, they would have given Jay anything because they don't want Jay to go somewhere else. And so Conan is really just the odd man out. And I love Conan. I think he's great. But if you're running NBC, he's like a pain in your ass now.
Yeah.
He's like the guy who won't go away. You can't get rid of Conan.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, maybe you do, but then, you know, the problem is if they fired Conan and had to pay him that big money deal, that, you know, they're a public company or whatever, and they would have fired the executives for wasting all that money on Conan.
Well,
that's the thing.
You know, this has been screwed up in late night before. Remember they had Joan Rivers?
Yes.
They gave Joan Rivers a bunch of money to come to Fox and do their late night show. Because she was a big hit as the guest on Carson.
Mm-hmm.
They tanked.
Exactly.
And then they, as that show was dying, after they'd already kicked Joan off, they brought in Arsenio.
They did, yes.
And Arsenio blew up and became a huge hit, but they fired him anyway because they thought it was cheaper to just replace him.
Yeah.
Because they had a contract in place for the next show.
Who did they replace Arsenio
with? They replaced Arsenio with a show called The Wilton North Report.
Okay, I remember
which
that.
Which was one of the worst things that's ever been on television. Was two guys who were not interesting at all.
Yeah.
And then 10 months later, Arsenio came back and was a huge
hit. He had a syndicated show.
Right. This happens.
Well, I mean,
and so they're afraid of these scenarios.
The only thing that can happen is, okay, here's the possible scenarios now. One is that Leno is a success.
Mm-hmm. Which is sadly the probable scenario.
Well, and I told you this many times, and I think I talked about this on here. The rating spin, which by the way came out today about how, and I told you this, it was the biggest rating for a Tonight Show with Jay Leno, or for any, you know, a Jay Leno show in the history of Jay Leno, but that was just because it was on a 10.
Mm-hmm.
But they're spinning it like this is bigger, you know, his final Tonight Show.
Yeah, it was his first
This
one.
Was bigger than this final one, but it's always going to be bigger. 6 months from now, on an average Wednesday, when he's interviewing, you know, Craig T. Nelson, is going to have a higher rating than the last Leno.
So you got to do a coach reunion?
Yeah, exactly.
That was a good show.
But you know what I mean? Because it's on a 10. People can see it at 10. 11:30, you can't see it. At 10, you can see it. So that's the difference. So you can spin
the
this
the real issue
as
is
Jay
what, how
being
it does
a failure.
How it does against NCIS.
Yeah, those shows, yeah.
Or Castle
when
or The Mentalist or whatever those shows are. And now what they're going to do is...
But they don't even care if they lose. But I'm saying, even if it's third place against those, it's still a higher rating than when he was first place in late night.
Right.
The primetime 10 p.m. third place rating is higher than first place at 11:30. So you can still spin Jay as winning. There's no... You can't...
I understand.
You know,
but,
you can't
but
spin it
you
as
you know
a
that
loss.
Like CBS is going to bring the smoke in their 10 o'clock slot.
Yeah.
Whenever they can to try and make
I get
Jay
that.
Look bad.
I get that. So there's potential there.
But
they could also say, hey, Conan's not performing, and they could get rid of Conan and put you on 11:30.
Yeah.
Save face that way. I don't know.
This whole move, though, flies in the face of everything I thought television was about these days.
Which is what?
Which is youth.
Well,
who
it's
are
about cheap.
Right.
Apparently.
Who are Jay Leno's fans?
old folks.
Do you know anyone under 40 who thinks Jay Leno is even remotely
Nobody,
funny?
I don't know anybody that likes Leno.
I mean, there's got to be somebody.
I don't know anybody that like tells me they tune in to Leno.
Sometime several months ago, we were having dinner with Amy's parents.
Yeah.
And they mentioned Leno, and I made kind of a gas face.
Yeah.
And it led to this long, uncomfortable conversation about why I thought Leno was horrid.
How did they deal with that?
It was as if I told them that there was no Santa Claus, and they were just so shocked. It was like, I told them the sky was green. They looked.
Right.
And I, you know, Amy's parents are nice people. They're sweet people.
Yeah.
They're good. But they're, you know, they're 60, you sure. know, something, and they're whatever. And to them, to say that Jay Leno wasn't funny, that I just had to explain why I preferred Letterman.
But
I preferred Letterman in every way, shape, and form.
Do they not like Leno? Were you just saying that? Were they fans of Leno? Do they watch Leno enjoy it?
I think they made some reference to some hilarious thing they saw on Leno and asked me if I'd watched it. And I couldn't lie to them and go, I watch Leno every night. No, because I don't.
But I think a lot of times if you tell people Leno sucks, it's flying in the conventional spin on Leno in that Leno's number one, therefore Leno is the best. And to say Leno's not good, why is he number one if he's not good? People can't make that
judgmental thing. There's a rarity on your bed right here, not just the mono box set. This was one of the last times. The Beatles were one of the few times when the best thing was the number one thing.
When the best thing was the number one
when
thing.
When the best band in the world was also the biggest band in the world.
Right.
Doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, occasionally in movies, you'll have like a movie.
Sure, sometimes.
Like Star Wars in 77.
Sometimes a great movie is a big hit, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord of the Rings were good movies.
Good
and they
movies,
made money.
Big hits. Nowadays, but now Transformers was the biggest hit of the summer.
Right.
Which we had that debate, by the way, and I think I nailed that. But if we want to rewind the tape.
None of the Oscar movies were in the top 50 box office. You know?
Well, you know that's changing this year, by the way. And we can
with the top 10?
It's going to be retarded.
Well, Up will get nominated and shit.
Up is going to get nominated. They're saying The Hangover could get nominated.
What?
I've actually heard that their potential is for The Hangover.
They're going to whore out the
Oscars. Well, if there's 10.
You know what this is? You know what's going to happen to me this year?
You know what? If I was filling out a ballot, The Hangover, yeah. I don't know if it'd be number one, but it'd be up there.
Here's what's going to happen for me. Personally, this is a great thing for me. Last year, I had some gigs doing Oscar discussions.
Yeah,
I
remember
parties,
that. So. Yeah, sure.
This year, I'm going to address probably 6 or 7 more groups of dismayed housewives in libraries trying to understand what's up with the Oscars. They just want to see who's in a pretty dress.
Right. Here you go, Corey. Can you write this down?
Yeah.
Okay. Meryl Streep, good. Kate Winslet, good. If it's about Jews or South Africa, very good.
Where's that Jeremy Irons? They haven't given him an Oscar.
All that stuff, good. That's never bad.
Daniel Day-Lewis? Can we give him another
Daniel
Oscar?
Daniel Day-Lewis, good. There you go.
Tom Hanks?
What more do you need to
know? Who wants an Oscar?
Well, you go to an Oscar thing, who cares?
I'm just saying.
What you know.
No, you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying. But I mean, yeah.
I enjoy doing those, but it's going to be such a mess this year.
But that's because all they do is give it to these dopey movies. The Reader and stuff that nobody sees.
Right.
All these movies win the awards, and the Oscars wants something that people saw to win an award.
What they want and why, because it does mean money once you win the award.
Yeah.
I think I read somewhere the stat is that a nomination equals $30 million in additional revenue for every movie that gets nominated for Best Picture. And then if you win, it's like $70 million. You know, because people will rent it and go see it. And what they usually do, like Slumdog Millionaire did well.
Okay, I didn't even know what the Best Picture was.
It did well, but then when it won, it played another 3 months.
Oh, okay.
After it won. So it played into May.
That extended its run, yeah.
Right. Okay. And when they say there's 10 movies, well, that's 10 movies that can get nominated.
That's true.
But these studios don't have money to put fucking films out, and then they have to put money into the Oscar campaign. Don't get me started.
So what's
Scorsese had a movie called Shutter Island, which got pushed to February strictly because the studio didn't want to pay to market it and to promote it for an Oscar.
Yes.
So it got dumped until later.
Well.
And DiCaprio is pissed off.
Well, anyway.
All right.
Oh, and we got to mention this.
So
while you're
our
here.
Two-word Jay Leno review.
Same shit, different show. Well, I mean, what
he sucks.
Well, could say. Look, again, I don't hate Jay. I don't think Jay is the least talented, least funniest guy ever. I don't think that. Stephen Colbert, I give me Leno. I'll put the two.
Yeah, I love.
And Stephen Colbert can suck my dick. I don't think that guy's funny.
Well, you, yeah.
Okay,
you know,
but I don't think Leno's great. But it's not the he personally isn't the worst thing.
Here's my list.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Letterman.
Letterman's the best.
Conan.
Conan's number two.
Ferguson.
Okay.
Kimmel. Fallon. Leno.
Oh, come on.
No.
Jimmy. No.
I hate Leno so much.
Okay. Here's my list. Conan's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would take, I guess, Letterman. I mean, I could go other places. The guy Joel McHale on The Soup is funny.
Yeah.
I'll take that guy.
Well, I'm not, but he's not a
talk
show.
He's not a TV.
Host.
He's not a late show.
What about Chelsea Handler?
Fuck her. Bill Maher. Bill Maher is interesting, at least. I don't think.
You know what? I would definitely
but
watch
see,
Bill Maher.
Bill Maher's a guy that I like. I don't like his show, but I like him. I think he's. I don't care for his show.
His show is not always great due to the mix of people on it.
But I don't. I think Bill Maher is interesting. If I, if it was an interview with Bill Maher, I'd watch it. You know, Bill Maher's a good guy. I think he's funny. I don't think Leno's not funny. I don't think that he's. I think the show's not funny, but I think Leno, at least I think he has an understanding of comedy. I think in stand-up terms, I think Leno's problem is that he's a crowd pleaser. And we have those guys in stand-up.
That's all he
they
does.
They just do whatever the crowd wants to
I
hear.
I want you to like me.
He's just it's just a guy. He doesn't have an agenda. It's like,
and that's what I had to explain to her parents.
He's a crowd
Letterman,
pleaser.
And what Letterman's been doing lately, if you've been watching Letterman's show, he had Bill Hicks' mom on and apologized for the time that they cut him off the show.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He now is in a position where he feels like he can do things.
Well, because he's not competing with Jay for the ratings.
Right.
Leno's going to beat Conan just on principle.
Letterman will have an author on of a book he's interested in. Or he'll have politicians on. Because he's now expanding to do things he's interested
but
in.
But I just, Jimmy
Whereas
Fallon.
What's Jay interested in? Cars?
Yeah, Jay doesn't seem to have on stuff,
You think he might be interested in politics, but Jay will never take an opinion. He's too fucking vanilla to go one side or the other.
I agree with that. Okay, Jimmy Kimmel I like better. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel's show I like better than Jay's show, obviously.
Here's my big problem with Jimmy Kimmel's show.
I like Craig. Frank Ferguson, again, I don't watch.
Uncle Frank.
No, I agree with Cousin Sal and Uncle Frank and all those guys. And
it's
Guillermo.
Too much. It's every night. It's Guillermo and Uncle Frank, and I'm bored.
I hear you.
But Kimmel's interviews are okay because he'll occasionally push a button.
And Kimmel's funny.
I think Letterman's the best interview because Letterman will just tell people they're full of shit.
But again, I think Bill Maher's funny. I don't like to watch his show.
Sure.
I think Craig Ferguson is funny. I don't really watch his show. So it's a different thing. Sometimes the guy and the show are not one in the same.
I don't watch any now that there's so many talk shows. I don't watch any of them all the way through.
No, neither
generally.
Do I.
I'll flip around.
Sure.
Depending on what the guest is.
I go
is.
On the guide. I see who the guest is. I see who the musical guest is.
I look and
is.
I see, is this broad look good to me? Do I want to take a look at this? Do you know what I mean?
Well, speaking of that, you're going to be jacking off to Melissa Joan Hart on Dancing with the Stars. Is that happening? Is that happening?
Who else is on there? I heard Tom DeLay is on there. Which
there's a lot of pussy on there.
He's going to last about a week.
There's a lot of
Who else is on there?
Well, do you want me to pull up the Dancing with
the
Stars?
Yeah, give me the list before I get out of here.
All right.
I got to get going.
Can you please revel and you go ahead. I'm not even.
Sure. I got another.
You go ahead.
Another 10 minutes.
I'm turning this over as I Google Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Swayze dead. You go. You run with that.
Oh, yeah. Well, folks, the Roadhouse in Heaven just got a new badass.
Do your congratulations. Do your victory speech right now.
I wish I had the time of my life. That would really make this show. That would be the production quality this show has always lacked. Because I could just talk over. I've had the time. Had the time of my life. No, look. Sometimes something great happens in your life, and you get a special run at the Deadpool like I've had. And it's amazing to have the power to know who lives and who dies. Now, Joel is the defending champion, and it is a great. Joel is a Hall of Famer.
Four years running, by the way.
Sure. Joel's a champion, but as Ric Flair says, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And I'm beating the man soundly this year's Death Pool, and I'm proud of that. And Patrick Swayze was my ace in the hole, and I would have held him. I would have waited for the third, fourth quarter to use him, to deploy him.
But you
because we still have another 3 months to go here.
Anyway.
But Yeah, I'm ready to. I'm ready to.
I'm just trying to pull up. I'm having a hard time.
The Dancing with the Stars lineup.
The ABC site is a complete piece.
Is it in the fall TV preview over here?
It might be. I've got it here. Hold on a second.
Now, are you going to watch Joel McHale's show?
That's annoying me too. The fucking Thursday night NBC lineup.
What about the SNL? The Saturday Night Live Thursday night update.
Well, here's my problem with the Thursday night.
Yeah.
Okay, we got The Office. Good show, right? Love The Office. Okay, now we got The Office at City Hall. That's Parks and Recreation. We got The Office at College. That's called Community College. There's going to be The Office at the restaurant. That's going to be called some other, you know, the diner.
Sure.
There's going to be that. You're going to have The Office at the bus stop. You're going to have The Office at the thing.
Grease Monkeys.
The Office at the this. The Office at the that. Everything's The Office now.
Is Community really like The Office?
We'll have to see it, but it kind of, I think it might be.
I'll tell you what, Chevy Chase is in it, and that's kind of intriguing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, before we get into your
dance.
I'm going to admit something right now.
Okay?
Because I think you're a giant homo for watching Dancing with the Stars.
I'm going to tell you why you don't, or you're not a homo
I'm going to tell you when I'm watching, and you're going to call me a homo all day long. Glee.
Oh, Glee. See, I heard Glee was funny.
I loved Glee.
It's been on once, right?
The first episode aired.
It's been on once.
Showed the pilot in the spring.
Oh, okay.
And then now they just showed the first episode.
Okay.
So two episodes have aired.
All right.
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
They did Gold Digger.
Oh, okay.
That they do these songs.
Yeah.
And they'll do kind of a funny version of these songs. And they had these cheerleaders on there.
Yeah.
And they were doing a crazy sexy dance was great.
I might watch Glee. I'm not saying
Glee,
no to
Glee
it.
Glee actually is kind of funny. It's a satire. It's a spoof a little bit. Jane Lynch is really funny in it.
Okay.
She's like the evil cheerleading coach.
All right.
I'm shocked that I like Glee.
All right, Glee.
As much as I do.
You're not a homo.
Well, it's a guy who did Nip Tuck.
Okay.
He's got a track record of doing good stuff. So, okay. Glee. Check out Glee.
Let me tell you who's on this show.
That's a show you can watch with your girlfriend.
Okay.
If you have one out there, and I know this listening audience is not maybe.
You could almost. This is the hottest cast of Dancing with the Stars.
All right, let me hear what's on.
Tell you why. Okay. Well, we'll get. Okay. Before you got. Okay. Aaron Carter, who was
a
singer.
Oh, he's hot.
No, but he's dancing.
That is hot.
But the problem is he's dancing with a hot chick, Karina Smirnoff.
Karina, okay.
So he's hot. Okay. Natalie Coughlin, Olympic gold medal swimmer. I don't know who that is, but. Probably pretty hot.
Gymnast and
Olympic gold medal swimmer, so she's probably pretty hot.
I don't know. Evans.
Mark.
Look like Flipper.
Mark DeCascos, host of Iron Chef America. Okay.
I don't know
who that is, but his partner, Lacey Schwimmer, is hot. I know who that is.
Yes.
So you're already, you know, good there. Tom DeLay, the former House Majority Leader, who's a Republican, who is dancing with Cheryl Burke, who's hot.
Mm.
Okay, so there's another hot chick.
Yeah, boy, Cheryl Burke's going to be off week two.
Yeah, she might not do good.
Remember how bad Tucker Carlson was?
Yeah.
No chance Tom DeLay.
Yeah, probably not. Okay, here's the one. Okay, you can't beat off to this, though. Macy Gray is a contestant. The black, she's kind of the cracked out blacks.
I know who she is. Yeah. I'm just baffled by it.
Yeah, I don't know why she's on there. Okay, so that's not good. Ashley Hamilton. They have his occupation as actor and comedian. Is that true? He's George Hamilton's son.
I don't know about comedian.
I don't know either. He's dancing with... Edita Slowinska, who's hot. Have you seen her?
I like, yes.
Ah, yeah.
I've seen the show.
Okay, here's your girlfriend, Melissa Joan Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Who, probably before she had eight kids or whatever,
she shook the baby weight off.
Right, and you know they get toned up on Dancing with the Stars. So that might be worth watching. Okay, Kathy Ireland, supermodel.
Former.
Okay.
Wait, she wasn't the one that, it was Carol Alt was the one that Fred had the objection to being called a supermodel.
Carol Alt he didn't like. Kathy Ireland is younger than Carol Alt, so. Michael Irvin, who I don't know.
He's hot.
I don't know who he's dancing with.
Nice legs.
Here's a hot chick. Supermodel Joanna Krupa. You know who that is?
No, I know.
Oh, man. Gorgeous.
I'm going to give it to this lineup so far in that I know the names of most of these people.
Sure, okay. Okay. Former UFC champion Chuck Liddell.
Get the fuck out.
He's dancing with Anna Trubinskaya, who's kind of hot. Here's another hot, again, blast from the past. But
is Chuck retired?
They want him to be, but...
He keeps taking fights?
I think they got him on the show, so they won't have to have him fight anymore. Oh, Randy Couture's getting his ass kicked every minute now, but,
Chuck's what, 40-something?
He's about 40, yeah. Former super hot chick, Debbie Mazar.
Oh.
See, there you go.
I like Debbie Mazar.
Here's another hot chick. Grammy award-winning singer and actress Maya. Have you seen her? She's Puerto Rican, but
now,
she's hot.
Is that not Grant Hill's wife?
I don't know.
Which
is
one's
it?
Grant Hill's wife?
Let me look up Maya real quick. I don't know. If Maya.
Which one is Grant Hill's wife? Tamia is Grant Hill's wife. No, not that one.
No, that's not her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say she's not.
No, Grant Hill's wife is Tamia.
Okay.
Who's another actress.
Okay.
It's okay. Another blacktress.
I don't know what she looks like, though. No. Kelly Osbourne? Probably not.
Well, hey.
That would be stretching it to say she's
awesome. God, I wish I had the drops right now.
Donnie Osmond is dancing with Kim Johnson, who's pretty cute.
Watch out for Donnie, by the way. Donnie's going to go deep in this contest.
World champion snowboarder Louis Vito. I don't know who that is. But he's dancing with Chelsea Hightower, who's actually real hot. So I'm liking this cast.
Aren't the rule that jocks usually do well on this?
Jocks usually do well.
Helio Castroneves won.
The problem with
Apollo Ono won. Who else won?
The problem with Dancing with
Yamaguchi,
the Stars,
right?
Is the guy that you know, like probably that Louis Vito guy is the least famous guy. He's
we'll
probably going to
well.
Go deep, yeah. There was the guy, he was in the Sex and the City movie for like a second. He's like walking around with his shirt off.
Sure.
And I don't know, he's from France or something. Mm-hmm. And he was like the biggest hit. Like,
who was the guy on Celebrity Mole that we didn't think was a celebrity and was on, was late in the show? It was the blonde guy who was dumb.
Ian Ziering?
No, not Ian Ziering. On Celebrity Mole.
Oh, he went late in the show?
Do you remember that?
The kid?
Yeah.
That was on with Kathy Griffin?
Right, and he was the least of
yeah, he was the famous,
least famous
guy
you've ever
and
known.
He went, that's the
and
problem
he was the
with
second
show.
Or third runner-up.
And that's the problem with the show. So I would like to see, let's see. If I had Natalie Coughlin and Melissa
How come
Jenner?
Kathy Griffin hasn't done Dancing with the Stars? What?
I don't know.
You think she'd love that?
I don't know. I don't know who they offer this to, but, you know, they
she
offer
was,
it
Speaking
to,
of Bill Maher and Kathy Griffin, she was flirting with Richard Clark, of all people.
Who's Richard Clark?
Richard Clark was the former, like, security analyst who left the Bush administration.
Oh, I know. He bad
wrote
them,
wrote the books. Yeah, she's making faces at him and licking. It was weird. It was weird.
She dated Steve Wozniak, the big fat Apple guy.
Good point.
I mean, the guy's got $1 billion, but still, come on.
Hi.
All right. Have we said enough today?
I think I've said my piece.
Because speaking of UFC, I got to get Sabo on the phone, so I'm going to do that segment.
All right.
And but I want to thank you for coming on.
Yeah, sure. Well,
congratulations on Death Row. I don't think there's any way for me to win. You've got 100 and it's not I haven't officially done the list, but if Patrick Swayze was either worth 43 or 44, I think it was 43. So that would give you 155
Let's
points.
Do scenarios because this is my
favorite. I've got 59.
It's my favorite part of Big Brother when they talk the game strategy. About
Corey, I can't. Okay. Gary Coleman's worth 59. I've got him. I've got Joaquin Phoenix worth 65. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm down by 95 points. There's almost no scenario I can get 95.
It's pretty big.
Seve Ballesteros is 48, but it's still it's
Let me
not
look
updated.
At this list.
But there's the
this
list.
Is a juggernaut of a list, and no one. I mean, let's goodbye to Steve Brewer. I mean, come on.
No, no one else even is in. Before you got Swayze, at least I had a scenario where I could win, and that's over.
Okay, I'm going to give 10 points to Steve Brewer right now for Andy Rooney. Have you seen Andy Rooney lately?
He looks real bad.
He hasn't even been on 60 Minutes for the last couple of weeks because
they've just been showing reruns.
He's so old.
Well, he did the eulogy of Don Hewitt, I think, or
yeah, he did.
Yeah,
but he got his lip is dragging.
Or Cronkite or one of those guys.
Cronkite and Hewitt.
Yeah, they died.
Here's the problem: all his friends are dead.
Yeah,
so it's time to go, Andy.
All right. Speaking of time, I don't. There's no way people can get the list on.
Oh,
the website,
you. This is not accurate because Rob Rose got Dom DeLuise.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm not up to date on this. I haven't been updating it.
So Rob is up to 47 points.
Okay, I got to update that. Well, let's write that down then.
Yeah,
I'll get this up.
Dom
I'll
DeLuise.
Get this up on the website.
All
give me that. Dom
right.
DeLuise.
So who? I'm going to look at what else my other options here.
Give me the list.
Doris Day is, I'm thinking, probable.
All right. Look, you had one good year. Don't get all fucking funny. For 4 years, I had to sit here and not.
I know,
you off.
But now.
So you wouldn't storm off the fucking show.
Now I am a juggernaut, and it feels good to win.
Good for you.
Well, all right. So Leno sucks. We've solved that. Kanye,
yeah, Leno
West
sucks.
Is crazy.
Kanye's a dick.
Here's
and,
you know what the real failing of the Leno that segment that bit with Kanye. I think what Jay's trying to do is be the kind of what he got big for. He was getting killed by Letterman for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then he had Hugh Grant on.
Yeah, but he wasn't even that probing with Hugh Grant.
No.
Yeah.
But Jay wants to be the sort of national morality center or the kind of, you know what I mean?
I know what you
mean. The soapbox.
I think that
But he's so bland and vanilla.
I think Jay, I don't think if they could have booked it, they would have had him on. I think it was just a thing.
Yeah,
where
he happened to be in the building.
Jay didn't want to. If Jay goes out and he's wisecracking with Kanye, then he's going to look like he doesn't care about Taylor Swift.
So you think
and
Jay,
it really all comes down to a big black guy humiliated a little defenseless white girl. And everyone hates the black guy now. And that's the common. That's
it's
why
so stupid.
Hate. Yeah, I agree. I agree. As much as I'm.
Because she sucks. She's horrible.
It's the MTV Awards. It's not that big a deal.
Right.
It's not a big deal.
And the worst part is Beyonce went and won like Performer of the Year anyway at the end of the night.
And she let her come up and say something, which, oh, why? I don't know. Fuck it. Whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, listen, I got to get Sabo on the phone. All Corey, thanks for hanging out. Congratulations.
All right. Enjoy your mono boxes.
I don't know who else has to die for you to come back or what show Jay Leno has to premiere. But
the Lions winning.
We'll see
a Lions winning streak.
A Lions winning streak will bring him back. All right, Corey. Thanks a lot.
Right,
we'll get Sabo on the phone in 1 second. Steve, are you there?
I am here.
Steve
I'm
Sabo, right. Our UFC expert. I say
I know. It's sarcastic because I'm barely holding my own.
You have a over three shows, you have a 9-7 record.
It's going to change. I'm going to build on that.
So you know, 12-4 is my record. So I think I'm ready to call myself the money machine. Because if you bet
but
with
the
me.
Underdog, yeah. I mean, you gotten lucky on some picks. I'm not going to say it. You know, I mean
I've gotten lucky on some picks.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, whatever.
Listen, I picked Nogueira, Randy Couture. That was the main event of 102. You picked Couture.
Yeah.
I took Nogueira, okay?
That's the way that Nogueira looked in his last fight. I mean,
right.
To pick Nogueira on that was a risky move.
Well, listen, I justified it by he was younger, okay? He had better he when they had common opponents in fighting their common opponents, Nogueira had won. They both fought Barnett. Barnett beat Couture,
right.
Nogueira beat Barnett twice. Nogueira was able to tap Tim Sylvia where Couture couldn't. And just based on that, I kind of went with Nogueira, and I thought Nogueira was the younger, better. I know he looked like shit, but he had a staph infection, and I said, you know, I'm not going to hold that against him. That was my gut, and I went with it, and I did. We both really didn't do great on that show. I was 3-2. You were 2-3. So,
yeah. So and, I mean, I can't argue because you obviously. So right. I can't argue.
And the guy, although the guy I picked to win, Damian Maya, got knocked out with one punch. So
one fucking punch.
Yeah, it was sad.
I know.
One punch. So you did better there. But here's your chance to redeem yourself. UFC 103 is this weekend. I believe it's in Dallas, Texas.
Yep.
The American Airlines Center, and it's on pay-per-view if you want to order this thing. It could be a good show. There's some good fights, and we'll run these down. You want to start at the bottom? How do we do? Do we start at the bottom or the top? I think we start at the bottom, don't we?
I think we start at the bottom and work our way up.
All right. Well, I think this is an easy card to pick. I said that to you off the air, but I think, do you agree or not disagree?
I think there's a couple that could go. I don't think it's that easy. I think it's, we'll see. You know, we'll see.
Because I think there's a.
If we both agree, that must be easy. You know what I mean?
Well, there's a show on Spike TV that's Wednesday night, which you probably by the time you hear this, it would have already happened. But I think I don't want to pick that card. I'm afraid of that one.
Yeah, both of those fights are very even. This one, when we get to it, I'll explain to you which ones I think are difficult.
Well, I'm going to go first here and pick on the undercard Tyson Griffin versus Hermes Franck at 155. Tyson Griffin, I would think, might be in line for a title shot if he wins this fight. Hermes Franck had one a couple years ago, and he lost to Sean Sherk. I think this one's easy. I think Tyson Griffin. I think that's an easy pick.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Exactly. Tyson Griffin is he's not very exciting, but he doesn't lose a lot of decisions. You know.
Yeah. He gets the job done.
He's a big, strong guy.
He beat Uriah Faber years ago. He was the first guy to beat Uriah Faber in a fight. And just Hermes Franck is a good fighter, but he's had some tough losses. And Tyson Griffin hasn't really been fighting a lot. I think he's going to be a little sharper.
Only chance that Hermes has is that Tyson doesn't fight a lot of jiu-jitsu guys, and Hermes is definitely a jiu-jitsu guy. So
yeah, if it goes to the ground, there could be a real advantage for Hermes Franck, but. Tyson Griffin's a very good overall fighter with a wrestling base, and I like Tyson Griffin. All right, you go ahead. Josh Koscheck versus Frank Trigg. Frank Trigg returning to UFC after a few years away. He fought a couple times. I know Matt Hughes tapped him a couple times and made him submit.
Right.
And Koscheck's had some tough losses too, but he is the younger star, certainly. So
that's
go
right.
ahead, Steve.
And the reason why this one I think is a little bit hard to judge, but not really. I go Josh Koscheck on this one for sure.
Yeah.
And it's just that Frank's lost, you know, to people he shouldn't have lost to. And Josh is much younger. He's a much better wrestler, and that's what Frank Trigg's specialty is wrestling. So when you take the youth and everything he's better at, plus Frank is the two things that Frank's bad at is, you know, he's very susceptible to submission, especially the rear naked choke, and if somebody wears him out, you know, he gives up in the fight. And but the only reason why this is hard in a sense is that, man, Frank does not want to lose his debut back after he just begged for the shot, you know? So, yeah, but yeah. I'm still going Koscheck for
sure.
Yeah,
I'm taking Koscheck as well. I think Frank Trigg, you know, he went into announcing for a while, and he was in TNA Wrestling for a while, and he's done a lot of non-fighting kind of stuff. I don't know if his heart's going to be in it. Koscheck really needs a win, bad. So, Koscheck wants it more. He should be the better wrestler here. He's younger. He actually has a really good punch. I forget the guy he knocked out, but at that Fight for the Troop show, he's a Japanese guy, and he knocked the fuck out of that guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that's something he hasn't done a lot of, but it might happen here. So I agree with you with Josh Koscheck. Let's go to the next fight. Martin Campman versus Paul Daly. Paul Daly's from the UK, I believe. And it's his first UFC fight. Am I right about that?
It is. It's his first UFC fight. He's replacing Mike Swick, and he's coming in on very short notice.
Yeah.
It's not really short notice because he was already scheduled to fight on that card.
Okay, yeah.
He wasn't scheduled to fight Martin Campman.
Daly,
so
Daly fought for, was it Elite XE he fought for or somebody like that?
I'm not sure.
Somebody. I remember seeing him on Showtime or something, but... I don't know that much about Paul Daly. He's a British guy. He's tough, but you know Martin Campman's look real good, lady. I can't say no to him. So I think this one, Martin Campman, unless it's I don't know. I think he's just gonna. I mean, against Mike Swick, it might have been a tougher decision, but I think this is Campman all the way.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think you can't take the person that's next in line for the title aside from Swick, you know, and put him up against a guy who's never really fought in a cage before. And, you know, expect anything else. I think Campman, if Campman doesn't win this, that'll be very surprising.
Yeah,
very
I think Campman's going to win. I mean, according to the UFC.com, that, what has he got? Paul Daly is 21-8-2.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I mean, eight's not, you know, some guys have lost eight fights, but generally if you lose eight, you know, you've been fighting great competition, which he hasn't been fighting at a major league level at this point. And to lose eight fights against, you know, especially like UK competition, I don't think he's going to be able to hang in the UFC.
Right, I agree. But they've been touting him as being a great striker. So I mean, we'll see.
They need stars for the UK market, and they would like for him to win.
Right.
Martin Campman, I don't think they really give a shit about because they figure George St. Pierre is going to kick his ass anyway if he does get the title fight.
Yeah, I think they expected it to be Swick all the way
Swick,
on that one too. You know.
Yeah, I think they thought Swick would win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I think you're right.
Well, you can pick next. We're the same on these three. Mirko Krokop versus Junior Dos Santos at heavyweight. Junior Dos Santos has only one loss, and he's looked real good. And Krokop looked okay in his last fight, but you go ahead and pick it, Steve.
Yeah, here's the thing in this one. This is the one I think is the hardest one to call, you know, because Junior Dos Santos did look really good. He knocked, I can't think of the guy's name, but one guy out of the UFC who was supposed to be, you know, the future of the division, really. Do you remember the guy I'm talking about? I can't even remember.
Junior Dos Santos?
He's a guy that was supposed to have a title shot for Strikeforce this past week or whatever. I cannot think of his name. But
let me look him up.
I'm blanking out.
I'll look it up.
But anyway, yeah, it's the guy, he destroyed him. And Mirko, this is why it's tough for me. Junior's younger, he's coming up, you know what I mean? He's bigger, he's heavier, he's stronger. But I don't think the UFC wants Mirko to get another loss, you know. I think they're trying to build him up for a title fight against Brock. So I think they're giving him Junior because they don't want to give him somebody else that might beat him, you know.
So what's your pick?
So I'm going with Krokop on this one, you know.
Yeah, I looked up Junior Dos Santos. He beat Stefan Struve last time in UFC 95, and Fabrizio Verdum was his big win.
Verdum.
In UFC 90, he knocked him out in a minute. Although Verdum's been knocked out, you know, Shane Carwin knocked him out really quick too. But anyway, I agree with you on Crow Cop. Crow Cop needs it. Crow Cop can seem to rise to a certain level and. You know, someone's getting knocked the fuck out in this fight.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be Dos Santos.
And he's fighting a striker. And that's where Mirko does best, is when he's fighting a striker, really.
Yeah, if he has to fight a guy. I mean, you know, Krokop, you know, Gonzaga knocked Krokop out, but I don't know. I just think Krokop's got too much to lose in this one. He wants to prove. He needs to make up for some. Even his last appearance wasn't great.
I agree.
So he needs to make up for it. So I guess I get to... We're the same. We picked four of the same here. For the main event, it's Rich Franklin versus Vitor Belfort. They're fighting at... Are they fighting at 195 catchweight? That's what it seems to say
here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, there's been talk that they might add a 195 division. The reality of it is, it's hard to say. You know, there's so many people that are bouncing between middleweight and heavyweight because they don't know where Anderson Silva is going to be. And they want to fight wherever Anderson Silva is not going to be.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I'm assuming Franklin is the favorite here, although I'm taking Vitor Belfort. I think he's going to knock Rich Franklin out, to be honest with you. And you agree or disagree?
Well, here's the thing on this one, and this is why this is a tough one. And I'm going to go Rich on this.
Okay.
I'm going to go Rich on this, just so we have, you know, a disagreement on this.
Well, yeah, I want you to pick Rich because you think Rich is going to win. That's what I want you to do.
I do. Here's the thing. I think, honestly, I think Rich won his fight against Dan Henderson, and I think he lost the fight against against Vanderlei up until the very end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we both picked Vanderlei, I think, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah, and I really think Vanderlei was winning that fight. And then at the very end, you know, he took him down, and it sucked for him, you know. Rich hasn't lost to anybody, really. And if you look at it, one of the things that Rich does well is he's a very powerful guy, and he's good at in the clinch and manhandling people for the most part. And if you remember, when Vitor Belfort lost twice to Randy Couture, and when he lost to, Tito, it was from guys that were clinching him tight and manhandling him, you know. And Vitor's great when he can be fast and hit you from a distance, but up close, you know, he's a guy that he's not good. And the problem is that the UFC is bringing him in to be a star, bringing him back to be a star, and they want him to fight Anderson Silva. So if he doesn't put on a highlight reel type thing, you know, it's a lot of money they're wasting, you know. Plus, he's practicing karate with Machida, you know? So, you know?
I think I think he's going to stand, but Franklin hasn't knocked anyone. I can't remember the last guy Franklin knocked out. Matt Hamill? Would that be the last knockout?
I guess that was probably his last knockout for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, I just don't see him being, you know, and I don't know if you saw the Vitor Belfort Matt Lindland fight at the last Affliction. He killed Matt Lindland.
Yeah.
They thought Matt Lindland was dead. Literally, they thought Lindland had died in the ring because he got knocked out so quick.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When he's good, he's good.
But I'm just saying, based upon the last time I saw both of these, this is kind of the logic you used in Couture Nogueira, but based upon the last two fights I saw these guys have, I thought Belfort looked way better. I think Franklin's a real good fighter, but again, I'm against picking Vitor Belfort. So,
but you've got the other factor in there too, is that Vitor hasn't fought in a cage in 10 years.
Well, I understand that, but maybe he wants it a little more. Maybe he's got more to lose if he, you know, because it seems like Rich Franklin, they're going to just let hang around and fight. And maybe not contend for a title, and he'll just kind of fight. It's almost like he's in, like, you know, the senior division now, and he's going to just fight all these guys he never fought, and he'll go up and down and wait and do whatever.
And you also got to look at the fact that this was cobbled together when the fans went crazy when they were going to do a Dan Henderson, Rich Franklin, you know, too.
Yeah, and which I understand. And I understand that because Dan Henderson deserved the title shot.
Well, it's But the problem is, I mean, realistically, it was a really close fight, and it was a boring fight, really, yeah. You know?
Yeah, I don't think this fight will be boring.
No, I don't think this one will be at all.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good fight, so I'm excited. I think it's a pretty good card overall. I mean, I think there's definitely, you know, Frank Trigg usually has good fights, in that he wins them, but usually they're exciting. Which
right,
is good, because sometimes Koscheck can be real boring. You know, Tyson Griffin, Hermes Franca could be exciting, you know. I mean, Paul Daly's going to stand, and Krokop and Dos Santos are going to stand. So, I don't know. This could be a fun night.
I tell you what's funny, too, is I actually spent some time with Frank Trigg, and he's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
The last UFC I went to, I had better seats than him, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I first saw him at the Arnold Classic. He was walking around. Nobody recognized him. Nobody had any idea who he was. And you could see him walking around, like, looking, hoping somebody would say something
yeah.
to him, you know? And when I walked up to him, I go, "Hey, Frank Trigg." He's, like, so excited. He's like, "Yeah, hey!" And
yeah.
Later on at the event, he's, like, coming up to me, going, "Hey, buddy, remember me?" He's like, "Oh, man,
wow.
Sad."
Yeah.
And it's sad. But he's a good guy, you know?
All
I mean, he's
right.
a fuck guy. He's good. So, I in a way, I want him to win because... Although, the reason why this is an interesting fight, too, if you think about it, is that Josh Koscheck is like the bad boy of the UFC. And so Frank Trigg was, too, back in the day.
Yeah.
So, it's like two guys that have bad attitudes, theoretically, or supposedly, you know, anyway, that are going after each other. So I think that's kind of interesting,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't really give a shit about Josh Koscheck. If I never see him fight again, it's too soon.
Right.
I mean, he's been a dull fighter. He had like I said, he knocked the Japanese guy. And he's been knocked out a couple times. It was exciting. But, you know, I don't really care about that fight so much. But I'll watch it. You know, it's not
mm-hmm.
something that I don't want to watch. I mean, if Frank Trigg can get back in contention, he's certainly got a name. So that there was, you know, there was
right.
there was no downside to signing him. It's kind of the same thing with Belfort. If he loses, well, he's still a name. You know, it's somebody they can bring back
right.
if he wins. It's somebody that people might remember, you know, Vitor Belfort. I don't even know if you're watching MMA or UFC when he came out. And he destroyed Vanderlei Silva in, like, 10 seconds. He really did some great stuff back in the early days.
He was supposed to destroy Randy Couture.
Yeah,
He was the champion, and they brought Randy in to lose, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff back in the day with, you know, guys were on steroids, and now the guys are clean, or supposedly clean anyway. And, you know, the
right.
game's really changed, and Vitor Belfort, I think, has changed his style and his training and all that stuff. And, you know, who knows? I mean, it's the one chance you have to crawl back into it anyway this week.
That's true.
For Rich Franklin. All right, Sabo. So we'll be watching these fights, UFC 103 this weekend on pay-per-view. Anything else going on with you we should know about?
Nothing important except for I'm doing another really dumbass road trip.
this weekend?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I just yesterday I was at the Metallica concert in Nashville.
Okay,
and I drove from Nashville back home today.
Wow!
And then tomorrow I'm driving to Minneapolis because on me and the feature act are driving to Deadwood, South Dakota.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
On Thursday. Then on Friday we're in Wausau, Wisconsin, which is 12 hours from there.
Oh
and
my
then,
God.
Yeah, I've before Friday hits, I will put more than 40 hours worth of driving behind me.
Between now, as we're recording this, it's Tuesday evening, almost 8 p.m. on the East Coast.
Well, between the beginning of the week, Monday and Friday.
Okay, between
you know?
Monday, but still 5 days and, yeah, all those months.
Yeah. From
well,
driving,
that's ridiculous.
You know, it is ridiculous. Over 40 hours, you know?
Well, I'm performing at the Comedy Castle, which is 5 minutes from my house this weekend, so.
Oh, there you go. I'm there in a couple of weeks.
Are you really? Okay. Well, we'll hang out then. Yeah. Maybe there's a show that week. We could do it live. Your picks
yeah,
live.
Yeah, that'd
be
great.
But anyway, good luck with your road trip. Good luck at 103. I guess it doesn't really matter aside from Rich Franklin, but I'd like to get these right. And again, I think this is easy. I know Belfort over Franklin was a little bit of a trick. You know, Franklin can surprise you, but I thought this was a relatively easy UFC to pick. And, you know, I wasn't confident last time, and I just got one over. I got 3 out of 5, so I don't know.
You did great on it compared to me. I mean, I was watching that last one. I was getting so angry, you know. And then finally with that like, 21-second knockout. I was like,
yeah, well, we nobody. No.
Damn.
Oh, by the way, just as a generalization about MMA, I'll never pick Keith Jardine to win anything ever again in my entire life.
Oh, my God.
I'm done.
You know, right?
I'm done. What a disappointment.
Oh.
Just a horrible
I can't believe that guy. I mean, it's just he's either wins by decision or he gets the hell knocked out of him in a minute or less. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's just come on. I'm not picking you to win a goddamn thing anymore. Sorry, Keith.
No, I agree with it. Although, interesting Keith Jardine story, not really much of a story, but Keith has a cameo role in Crank 2. I just saw it the other day.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, he looks like a bad motherfucker, you know.
He doesn't. You'd think he'd be one of those guys, but no. His entire role in that movie is when Jason Statham electrocutes himself with a telephone booth, whatever thing.
Yeah.
Keith runs over to him and goes, "Are you all right, buddy?"
That's it. He doesn't get to fight anybody.
No, doesn't do anything.
Well,
just
that's a shame.
Up. Are you all right, buddy? And then
well, maybe he didn't want to do fight scenes. Who knows? You know. Doesn't want to get hurt.
Yeah, but maybe they cut him out because he was such a bad actor. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Anyway. All right, Sabo. Well, good luck with Rich Franklin and good luck in Deadwood and all those places. I'm going to have to watch the show the next day, too, because I'm going to be at the Comedy Castle. But whatever. It should be a good show. So,
yeah, I think so.
All right, man. All right. Well, we'll catch you. We'll catch up with you next time, Steve. Good luck.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay,
see you.
Later, Sabo. There goes Steve Sabo, the great prognosticator of MMA. Sort of. He's 9-7. So really, he can't. Actually, both of our overalls could go down, but it'll be interesting. I'll give you an update next week on that. So, Steve Sabo. All right. Let's give you a couple more things here before we go. Once again, I want to thank Corey Hall, the great Corey Hall, former host of CoreyandJoelRadio.com. If you want to hear those shows, go to CoreyandJoelRadio.com. The archives are there. JoelRadio.net has that, too. If you haven't checked out the front page of JoelRadio.net, check out that because lots of pictures up there. Harry Barbarian and the Butter Cow and a pig drinking lemonade. It is all on the front page of JoelRadio.net. That's right. So if you want to see those, we talked about that stuff last week on the show. It's all up there for you to see. Thanks again to Sabo and to Corey. And I'll be watching Leno. I want to see him race electric cars against celebrities. That's going to be one of my highlights. You will have full Jay Leno coverage right here. I gotcha on Joel Radio. All right. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll catch you next time.